On the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon. The Hamas-run health ministry says the death toll in Gaza now tops 15,000 amid the renewed war with Israel. CBS's Bradley Blackburn reports.
The fight has extended into the south, where civilians had been told to evacuate and are now fleeing again. Outside Gaza City, a multi-story building in an urban refugee camp was hit. Residents said dozens were killed or wounded. We want to live in safety, this man said.
As the fighting resumed, the release of hostages held by Hamas has stopped. CBS's Chris Livesay spoke with some of those who were freed before the truce broke down.
For the first time, many of those freed described their torment in detail, desperate for food and air in Hamas's tunnels. Our girls have seen things that kids should not see. A horror film, recalls Daniel Aloni. We just slept and cried. Every day that passed was an eternity.
Recent reporting claims Israeli intelligence had been warned as far back as a year ago about an attack like the one that occurred on October 7th. Ohio Republican Congressman Mike Turner spoke about that on CBS's Face the Nation.
I think what you saw was just a general dismissal by Israel and Israel's intelligence community of the possibility of this level of a threat, which really goes to the complete breakdown that occurred here.
Turner is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Police have arrested a suspect in the killing of three homeless people in Los Angeles. Sheriff Robert Luna says police tracked Jared Joseph Powell through his license plate.
They placed the vehicle license plate number in a law enforcement system, and hours after that, members of the Beverly Hills Police Department were able to do a traffic stop and detain the suspect.
Police in Las Vegas are searching for a lone gunman wanted for killing one man and injuring four others at a homeless encampment. Lieutenant Joseph Johansson spoke to reporters.
Officers located a total of five victims who had been shot. Officers began initially providing medical attention to them until they could be transported to UMC.
A random knife attack near the Eiffel Tower in Paris has killed one German tourist, and this man was frightened.
They are tourists, right? And I'm also not a Parisian. So, yeah, it could be me. That was my first feeling.
The anti-terrorism prosecutor's office is investigating. Snow is on its way.
There's a storm developing right now across the Ohio Valley that's moving northeastward, and precipitation is spreading into New England. It looks like there will be the potential for heavy snows across northern portions of New England.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Cashback is not available on gas and Jersey.
Gillette Intimate gives guys a gentle and easy shave on there. And around there. And even under there. Don't treat your groin like junk. Respect it with Gillette Intimate, the best a man can get. Buy now at a retailer near you.
Temperatures getting low, but demand remains high? You need Indeed. They're all in one platform.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Dow. Farmers and people who live in flood-prone communities are looking to policymakers to improve the health of Wisconsin's soil. Mike Mohn has more.
Congress will soon renew debate over long-term farm bill funding, including incentives for producers to adopt practices like no-till farming, which allow the soil to hold more water after heavy rain. Julio Badinsky is a consultant for the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute and says this isn't just an issue for farmers and policymakers. She says taxpayer dollars come into play when these programs are underfunded.
Some of the costs that they pay because of the lack of investment in soil health practices, especially municipalities, rural communities, even state budgets, when they're looking at costs to repair flooding damages.
Between 2009 and 2019, Wisconsin suffered nearly $36 million in flood damage. On the flip side, she says soil health investment and improved water quality pay off for communities, such as boosting home values along watersheds. These discussions also follow recent conservation funding boosts from the Inflation Reduction Act, with advocates noting they're poised to help more rural areas. South Central Wisconsin farmer Ron Shep is among those who have tapped into IRA incentives this year through the Federal Conservation Stewardship Program, providing benefits that reach beyond his property.
We farm right on Lake Wisconsin, and so there's less runoff, and so that definitely helps the neighbors by keeping a cleaner Lake Wisconsin.
He also contends that making these incentives more accessible could place less stress on disaster aid programs for farmers. Congress has until next fall to adopt a new farm bill after extending the recent version for another year. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No chances for today. Should be light. Could have a little bit of light rain mixed in with it as well. Any kind of accumulation, if you see it, will be well under an inch. Clouds at upper 30s later in the afternoon. For the overnight, mostly cloudy and upper 20s. Currently 35 degrees.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Before we took short hiatus, I was talking about Social Security and Medicare being on the chopping blocks as they're organizing a group of people to look at Social Security and Medicare in ways of cutting deficits that, you know, seem to have completely ballooned out of control. And I will say this to you. Don't take my word for it, but look it up. The tax breaks from George Bush, Donald Trump, Ronald Reagan, have really been the arbiters of the deficit. And so to give those tax breaks to the wealthiest amongst us is the reason that we're now talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare as if they're the reasons that the deficits have grown. Don't take my word for it. Look at the impact of the tax breaks under George Bush Jr., under Ronald Reagan, and under Donald Trump. And you will find that the culprits of the major debt that we have has come from that. Let's go to, the Northwoods and Terry. Excuse me, go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Earl. Raise the cap. That's pretty basic. You got to do that. We're capped at whatever, 148,000, I believe it is, Earl. And
that's it.
Another thing, Earl, what I got to deal with up here is these people with the Trump hats don't know nothing. And there's two sets of facts with this fake news crap that he's plotted in people's heads. You can't trust. You know, when I try to talk and convey that message about Social Security, that's fake news. That's what comes flying back at me. So what an uphill battle. Plan this fake news seed, and it's just sprouted out of control. And we got the worst delegation, I think, in the country. Those eight guys that represent us, two are great, Mark Polkan and Gwen Moore, but the rest of them,
Terry, you're in the Northwoods, and I don't care whether it's the Northwoods, whether it's Amory, you know, whether it's Green Bay, whether it's La Crosse, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, wherever it is, there's misinformation that has permeated people who are receiving Medicare and Social Security, and they don't know that their benefits are endangered. And unfortunately, by some of the very people that represent them. And there is no question that people want to cut this debt, and they want to cut the debt on the backs of the elders, and they want to cut the debt by going after our Social Security and Medicare. It's a fact. You don't have to take my word for it. Look it up. But all of us in all of those regions and areas, Terry, have to pull together and send the message to those who are willing to take that away from us. And we don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. We're not going to stand for that. Hey, Terry, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jim from Genesee Depot. Good morning to you, Jim. How you doing? Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I'm honored.
Another thing that people don't recognize is that we have people like Jim Sensenbrenner, who sat on the public dole for 30 years crying about the Cadillac welfare mothers who never had a real job while he's living off of our tax money. But they gave themselves raises all the time without asking us if they deserved one. Plus, they get a pension after 6 years in office, a defined benefit pension. Plus, their Social Security is segregated from our Social Security funds. They want us to work to 60 or 70 or more, but they can retire after 6 years in office with a pension for the rest of their lives and their Cadillac health insurance and all the rest of that.
You know, Jim, we have to, especially here at Civic Media, and I think the whole purpose of why we're here and spread out across the entire state is to get these types of messages to people in areas who may not be aware of these things, because these elected officials have done a really great job of covering up what their master plans are and really who their bosses are. I don't understand, Jim, maybe you can explain it to me, but I don't know how it's possible that when we send those people to office, that those people then go into dark rooms. Well, it used to be dark rooms. Now they can do it in broad daylight. And lobbyists come and sit down with them. And even though we have elected them, they choose to support the lobbyists and the person who sends the lobbyists more so than they do you and I, who gave them this distinct opportunity to sit down and supposedly do our bidding. But they're act as if it's a dilemma on whether or not I should represent the people who elected me or represent the lobbyists. And I just think that's unbelievable that they would even act as if they're one and the same. They're not. We know what the lobbyist is, and we know why the lobbyist is there, and we know who they represent. They represent the money. They don't represent you and I. I don't think we should be giving the elected officials a chance to make the decision on whether or not I should support the lobbyists or the people. If they don't support the people, they should be kicked out on their backsides.
Right. Many of them like to call themselves strict constructionists or originalists, and yet it started almost 100 years ago with the Permanent Reapportionment Act of 1927, where they cut off how many representatives we have in government because the math was too hard to figure out. That's why we don't have actual representation in our government, because they've locked in the number for the total number of people in Congress that we have. And our representatives have to represent more and more people every year instead of the amount of people that it says in the Constitution they're supposed to represent. We should have over 4,000 people in Congress so that we would all be getting equal representation. But Republicans stopped that almost 100 years ago, and most people don't even know about that act.
Hey, Jim, man, thank you for listening, man. Thank you for taking the time to chime in. You know, this is not going away. In 2024, in about a month from now, you need to be very careful about the decisions that you make on who you're going to, you know, put in office. And make sure you check on the person, your congressmen and senators, and see where they, you know, where they sit on, you know, Social Security or Medicare. I mean, you really need to all the other things that you're talking about, that they're talking about, you know, and to lead you to believe these things are more important, like, you know, what books are in the library or some of these other things that really don't amount to a hill of beans, shouldn't even come into play. Hey, you know, Earl, do you believe in impacting my Social Security and Medicare? That's the question you need to be asking them. Let's go to Jack from Racine. Good morning to you, Jack. Thank you very much for waiting. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. You know, the Constitution and our country is based on the government is for the people. And I like to say that's what the Democrats' motto is, for the people. But you had somebody call, and so Social Security is just extremely important, and it has been. It was originated in order to help people, the elderly people in the U.S. were starving.
Yes.
And it also helps other people. My sister's husband died of MS. She's left with three young children. His Social Security and her Social Security combined helped to pay for those three kids all the way through college. So it fills a great need in the country. And you got people like Paul Ryan and others bringing in things like, well, we should privatize it. Well, I'll tell you, there's a reason people in Europe live 6 years longer on average, 6 years longer for life expectancy. And it's because of the medical care and other care that they give the people. And so in response to the fellow before who said government is always a problem, if we've got a problem with government, let's fix it. But we know where the money's going if the government isn't involved, because you take a look at Trump's tax cuts that increased the national debt that you were talking about. That went, 86% of that tax cut went to people in the top 2% of the wealth of this country. So I really like your program. I think people need to understand how important Social Security is to the people of the country and not allow the changes that occur to hurt the program.
Hey, Jack, the program would be nothing without you, the listeners, and the callers. So thank you, as always. And you know, I was going to move on, but I'm going to take one more caller. You know, don't touch the dial. I'm going to talk about, you know, Florida. And I'm going to ask many of you in the listening audience who are still here, you know, in the cold, you know, of Wisconsin, why you haven't moved to Florida. We're going to talk about that after we return. Don't touch that dial. I see you, Tom. We'll come to you. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, the show.
Later on, we'll conspire.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks,
dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, good morning to you at 98.9 FM Bull Falls Radio in Warsaw. Let me go to Tom. Before we went to break, we were talking about, again, Social Security and Medicare being on the chopping block once again. Tom, quickly. Tom from L.A.
Good morning again, Earl. First off, Kev Max Richmond back on the show.
I got to do that, man. I got to do it.
And second, one of the best moments of 2023 for me, and I wish that it would happen weekly if possible, is that when Joe Biden had the State of the Union address last year, and he talked about how the Republicans wanted to cut Social Security and Medicare, how, oh, boy, they were all up in arms. And they were like, oh, no, no, that's not true. And he said, okay, well, if it's not true, then let's deal with it right now. Let's actually scrap the cap instead of these people not paying anything after their first paycheck. For some of these billionaires, they don't pay anything into the system. Let's go ahead and raise the cap. If you want, we'll raise it to 400, 500,000, or you can start with the billionaire class and raise the cap up there. Social Security will be solvent, and Medicare will be solvent forever. And people laughed when Al Gore talked about putting it into a lockbox so it could never be touched. Well, you know what? He was right. And that should be the one thing that we do not touch. In fact, we should increase Social Security and Medicare instead of cutting those areas. And it would be done with just scrapping the cap on the taxes. And I just hope that everyone, especially as people continue to listen to Civic Media, that they, and your audience gets bigger, that they really understand the difference between private and public. Public means we the people. Private means that it's a private owner. And it is the dream of the private owners to actually be able to take over Social Security and Medicare. They're already trying to do it and tricking people with Medicare Part D.
Hey.
I'm sorry, Medicare yeah. Advantage. And all the people need to know that that's a scam. That Medicare Advantage is a scam.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call, man. I really appreciate it. Let me do this. Why are you and I, in our retirement years, still in cold, glacier-like Wisconsin? I mean, a lot of people have left. They've gone to the sunnier climates. They've gone to Florida. They've gone to California. They've gone to Texas. Why are you still in Wisconsin? Now, it's easy to say, if you measure it and you say, well, hey, why wouldn't you want to go to Florida where it averages, you know, 73 degrees? That's paradise, man. You would think if I could go somewhere where the average temperature for 365 days is 70 degrees, the question becomes, what's wrong with you and I that we haven't gone there? 844-967-2789. I'm sure, you know, you and I have thought about it in February, you know, January, you know, when it's 25 below with the wind chill, when there's 3 feet of snow, Calvin, you know, and you look out the window and you say, my God, Why am I still here? I got a brother and a sister who live down in Florida or San Diego, for heaven's sakes. Why am I still in Wisconsin? 844-967-2789. Let's go to Lynn from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Lynn. I got some things I'm going to talk about, reasons why, pros and cons of you know, those warm climates and where we are. You say what, Lynn?
Right. I would be the third generation to snowbird down in Florida, but I won't be. All of a sudden, with all the hurricanes and severe weather, homeowners insurance or mobile home insurance is rocketing. In fact, they're pulling, a lot of insurance companies are pulling out of Florida. Plus, what used to buy maybe $40,000 for a double-wide mobile home is now like $200,000. And a lot of mobile home parks, like my parents, my father was trying to put a group of renters, the property renters, they own their own homes, but you rent the property. And those rates have gone sky high, and developers are coming in and buying some of the older mobile home parks, updating their infrastructure and putting in condos. So prices have skyrocketed in Florida.
Hey,
and
Lynn.
I had a friend. Yeah.
You stole my thunder. But anyway, go ahead. Keep on going.
I had a friend who moved down to Naples, and her house was destroyed by the last hurricane, and she's back up in Oconomowoc.
you know, Lynn. People tell you about all the great reasons when they're there. I've got friends who have done the exact same thing, and they really let me have it, you know, in January when we're dealing with, you know, the cold and the frost in February and all of that. And they're saying, well, you know, the sun is shining, it's 75 degrees and it's beautiful here. When are you coming? Well, you know, all of us, and some of us see some of the other sides. There are cons to it. They're pros, but yes, there are cons. And Lynn, you pointed out a lot of the cons on why some people and some of us have decided we're not going to go that direction. And yeah, it would be great to have 72 degrees year round. But you know what? It doesn't stay 72 degrees 365 days a year. Lynn, sometimes it's 100 degrees with 50% humidity. For months. I wish I had more time, Lynn. We've got to pay some bills. Don't touch that dial. 844-967-2789. Why have you not left the state of Wisconsin for beautiful Florida? We'll be right back.
Silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them ring,
hear them ring.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says efforts continue to try to secure the release of hostages, even as the war between Israel and Hamas has resumed.
We are still working it really hard, hour by hour, to see if we can't get the sides back to the table and see if we can't get something moving. We would like that to happen today, but honestly, I just don't know.
Admiral Kirby was speaking on NBC. Snow is bearing down on New England, and Bob Orovic is at the National Weather Service.
Snowfall totals look like they're going to be in the 6 to 12-inch range across portions of northwest Maine, northern New Hampshire, northern Vermont, and very small portions of northern New York State.
In Queens, New York, a man has killed four of his family members before he was shot to death by police. Chief of Department Jeffrey Madry.
At the scene, the weapon that was used to
into the officers, a typical kitchen steak knife.
Two officers injured. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Bucks beat the Hawks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. In the NBA, the Bucks pulled ahead late in the fourth quarter to beat the Atlanta Hawks 132-121. It was the 148th consecutive sold-out game at Fiserv Forum. The Bucks campaign with a season-high 18 points.
Man, it feel good, man. It feel good to get my game going in front of these fans.
Head coach Adrian Griffin.
Really want to give a shout-out to our bench. You know, Bobby came in with a double-double. Cam, season-high 18 points. He was tremendous. I think Bobby in the first half and Cam in the second half, those guys were, you know, terrific.
College hoops, Wisconsin with an upset win over Marquette. Matt LePay with the call.
Point four on the clock. Send it to the backcourt. Kolick picks it up, and the Wisconsin Badgers knock off third-ranked Marquette as they storm the floor at the Kohl Center in Madison.
The final, Wisconsin 75, Marquette 64. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A chilly Sunday on the way. We'll see cloudy skies through the day, highs in the upper 30s and light north winds. For the overnight, mostly cloudy and upper 20s. More clouds on the way for Monday, highs upper 30s. Currently 35 degrees.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happy.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Amory, 1260 AM Lake Air. Let's, you know, before we went to the break, I was talking about why we are still here in the state of Wisconsin when paradise awaits us. All we have to do is go where the warm weather is. We know Florida is the hottest state in the United States, and it averages 72 degrees, you know, over 365 days. So you would have to ask the question, why wouldn't you want to be where the sun is shining all the time and 825 miles of beach front paradise? And so let's go to Julie from Franklin. Hey, good morning to you, Julie. Why are you still in Franklin when you could be down in Florida?
Well, okay, so I'm a good person to answer these questions, why you don't go there. I lived there for 8 years. I don't know if you remember. I told you,
yes,
I went down to take care of my mom and dad. Okay, so I lived in Bradenton, Sarasota area, and then the last 3 years I lived 20 miles north of Tampa in Lutz, Florida. And it's a whole nother world. And it's not as inexpensive as you think it is. The home prices, absolutely, they've gone up, but they've gone up everywhere.
Well, people will say there are no state taxes. They will say that's reason enough.
And yeah, you know, that's nice, like, especially coming from up here. Like, I went down there from Chicago, and
wow,
my taxes in Chicago,
right,
were ridiculous. So going down there was great, but then it's more expensive to live down there. My dad used to tell me this all the time, and I never believed him. And then when I moved down there, it's like, you know, the whole thing, you never believe what your parents tell you until you go through it. So this is going to sound silly, but there's 12 months a year of bugs, lawn cutting, that kind of stuff. That monthly expense is big. There's the groceries down there are actually more expensive than here. You wouldn't think they would be, but they are, all the time. Not just, you know, in the last couple of years. This was 8 years ago when I went down there. It's the beach. It's beautiful. It's beautiful there from November to April. And then it's sweltering hot, but November through April is when everyone goes to Florida. So you've got traffic and infrastructure that isn't set up for the traffic.
Are you sure you haven't been reading my notes? Because the cons, I wrote alligators, snakes, rats, iguanas, poison snakes, cons, all of the people who come down, tourists, you know, you seem to have gotten, you know, saw my notes, but go ahead.
Well, okay. So, you know, you got everybody that wants to go down there. So there's not enough of anything down there to accommodate stuff. Like, there's not enough restaurants. And I lived in both type of areas. I lived kind of in a rural area north of Tampa, and then I worked in Tampa, and then I lived down in the very touristy Sarasota, Bradenton area. A little more affluent down there. And you don't, when you live down there, you don't go to restaurants in peak time. You can't go to drive anywhere at certain times of the day because the traffic going to the beach backs up. I'm telling you, like, everyone goes, why did you move back to Wisconsin, or, you know, back up north? I'm like, oh my gosh, because there's, first of all, it's beautiful here in the summer, and there's not that many people, and nobody's, you know, coming here that much to vacation, so we don't have to worry about that.
Julie, I wish I had more time, but we've got some others on the line, but you know, you just, you know, you rained on my parade. I was thinking about going down to Florida, and now you talk me out of it.
I don't think my for a couple months. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think my wife would have agreed. So, you know, thank you very much for the call. I wish I had more time. Hey, Mary from Wauwatosa, how you doing?
Good morning. Yeah, good morning, Earl. I'm calling in to put in a good word for appreciating our winter weather. I just recently purchased a health track device called the Oura Ring. That's O-U-R-A. The company originates in Finland, and Finland has a rating for a number of years now, probably 6 years, for being the happiest place on this planet to live. It has temperatures that, you know, make Wisconsin's pale in comparison, and for a certain period of time, they have only 6 hours of daylight. So one of the reasons for Finn's great happiness is exposure to cold and get out in it as much as possible.
So what's an Oura Ring? What's an Oura Ring?
Oura.
O-U-R-A. What's an Oura Ring?
Yeah, it's a health tracker, so you wear it 24/7, and it tracks quality of your health, like sleep quality, your activity, exercise, oxygen level, heart rate. I haven't gotten it yet, but I'm kind of excited to start using it.
Hey, Mary, send that information to me on my email.
We'll do that. Okay.
Well thank
have
you.
A good day, Earl.
Mary's one of my favorite people in the world. I mean, whatever she does, I'm following her. I remember, I don't know, maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, I was having problems with my memory, and I was on the air, and I was saying, And she told me, you know, get some, and put this in your coffee, coconut oil. And ever since I've been putting coconut oil in my coffee, my memory has improved. And I owe that to Mary. So whenever Mary says something, that I should be doing in the way of health, I'm listening. You know, I'll tell you this, man. We can go to those wonderful places, and there's something to be said. I got a buddy, you know, who lives out west, and I got a son who lives in Arizona. And you know, he tells me, my son in Arizona, well, you know, it's really nice now, Dad. He says, you know, I can, it's, you know, 75 degrees now. But Calvin, he had to wade through 4 months of 100-degree temperature. And he says now it's going to be nice between now and April of next year. Is that trade-off good enough for you?
Not for me. I remember in July you telling me that it was like, 4 straight weeks of over 110 or something crazy like that.
Man, no, man. I just don't get it, man. You know, I'm going to stay here and I'm going to go through, you know, the cold weather. The one thing about the cold weather is, you know, you can put on a few layers, right?
Yeah, I don't mind the cold. It's the snow that I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, well, you know, and so you can get those things, and you can get warm, but you can't always cool yourself off. Well, people can say, well, you got air. Everybody doesn't have air conditioning, and but yeah, I'm here. I'm a person born in the north. I'm gonna die in the north. It's all right with me. Like was said earlier, man, alligators, man, iguanas, poison snakes, rats big as dogs, all of that stuff is down there. And people get accustomed to that. They get used to it. And because it's the paradise that they have. You know, they're not talking about the hurricanes, Calvin. And the fact that the insurance has increased, the average insurance cost is $6,000. You know, and going up, and people are being denied insurance, and they own these properties, and they can't even insure them. so many people flood the area down there that, you know, it's not comfortable. I kind of like sometimes not having a whole lot of people around. It's safe to say you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm from a rural town, so I'm used to low traffic areas.
I mean, who would want to have people, you know, stumbling all over one another? I get it. You love the warm weather. I get all that, you know, but we've just had a bunch of people kind of point out, you know, in the pros and cons of why they, you know, won't go down. You know, 19 airports in Florida. So it's easy accessibility. You can get in and out because that's what there is. It's tourists. And that's where, you know, most of the money's being made. In the pros, under the pros column, you can find, if you're, you know, 65 and up, Calvin, 4.8 million people, 65 and older, have moved or live in Florida. They've come from all over the country. Here's the other thing. When we're talking about all that warm weather, Calvin, if it's 90, 100 degrees, you can't even get outside to enjoy the beautiful sun and weather. How long are you going to be outside 95 degrees?
Well, especially when the humidity's super high and if you can feel the air hanging off your skin.
Well, yeah, they got the Gulf down there, man. And that's nothing but warm air coming off the Gulf. You know, people will tell you about, you know, it's beautiful. And it is. Nobody can argue. It's really beautiful, man. The beaches, you know, they've got Disney World and Orlando and all of these places that you can go and, you know, visit. But, man, I couldn't take 6 months of 90-degree weather and high humidity. I just can't, you know. And as we age, that sun is more difficult on us and that heat. And so, you know, of those 4.8 million, you know, 65 and older who are down there, you can rest assured, Calvin, they spend most of the time in the air conditioning.
Yeah, or they come back to Wisconsin during the summer.
Yeah. Listen, when we come back, we're going to talk about a serious issue, and that's that the majority of the people who are on the lower socioeconomic rung, you know, the status for dementia triples. It triples based on their socioeconomic situation. We got to do something about it. We have to know about it first before we can do something about it. Don't touch the dial. We'll be back.
Most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time. Yes, the most.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Snow brings thoughts of ways to stay busy in Wisconsin during the winter. And if you anticipate hitting the slopes, are you surprised to learn there are more than 36 ski resorts across the state? It ranges from Wilmot Mountain, which opened in 1938 in Kenosha County, to Mount La Crosse Ski Area with one of the longest runs in Wisconsin. Granite Peak offers 58 runs outside Wausau, and Wild Mountain Ski Area and its 7 lifts near Hayward. Now, do you know which of those resorts sits on the highest slope? The answer coming up.
recreational skiing started in the Midwest. The Lost Ski Areas Project reports the first documentation of actual downhill skiers happened in Beloit in 1841. So which resort sits on the highest slope today? It's Granite Peak near Wausau and boasts 400 acres at a 700-foot vertical drop. The fun and history of skiing is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Take a look in the fire.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Lower socioeconomic status triples risk of early onset of dementia. People from less privileged backgrounds are at greater risk of developing condition under age 65, a study finds. People from the lower socioeconomic backgrounds are more than three times as likely to experience early onset dementia, a study has found. The study published in the Lancet Healthy Longevity Journal and conducted by researchers at the Huazhou University of Science and Technology in China used UK Biobank data of more than 440,000 participants aged between 37 and 73. If this is the case, and it clearly is, they've done the research, and we live in a society and a time where there are more and more people who are economically struggling in our society. And we know at the end of it, and we know that dementia is a prevalent reality that's expanding in our society, then it's something that we need to take a long, hard look at. You know, my mom died of dementia. And, you know, my dad, you know, had some signs of that. And I think the longer we live, many of us are going to wind up with that. And so if they can tie in socioeconomic conditions to early onset of dementia, I think that's clearly something that our nation needs to be spending some resources on. Because the worst thing in the world is as people age, and especially early stages. Now, this is not talking about, you know, Rosalind Carter, Jimmy Carter's wife, who was 96 or 94 when she contracted this. We're talking about young people in their 60s. And if they can tie that into the socioeconomic realities that so many people face in our nation, doesn't that warrant more resources to study this? Because long term, the impact on our health system is going to be stretched, to say the least. You know, we live in, again, a nation that has the capacity to fix these things. But we've got to bring it to the attention of people first. Let me do this. Let's go to CJ. Hey, good morning to you, CJ.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, Earl.
Yeah, likewise.
God bless your mom and your family, because my family went through it with my mom.
Almost all of us are going to go through
that. Hardest. Yeah, and it's the hardest thing to watch. Yeah, it truly is. As far as a disease to watch, it's tough. It's really tough for the family more so than the patient. They don't, you know, once they don't remember, they don't remember. But it's hard to watch them.
So let me ask you though, CJ, if our government is finding out that there's some correlation, some connection between people who are economically stretched to this disease and illness, how do we go about, do we just ignore that information, or does it make sense for us as a nation to start taking a look at that?
Well, I sure hope that we are taking a look at it through our universities. You know, the funding of these drug companies, and they utilize the universities to research this, and hopefully they can do something about this right along with the other tragic cancer diseases. But yeah, we definitely have to research it more so we can do something about it. And you know, the drug companies spend a lot of money on, you know, research and advertisement, and they may charge a lot for them, but thank God they do, because, you know, it's our only hope really to battle this is through research and development of drugs to, you know, do something about it.
Hey, CJ, we're running out of time. You're a snowbird. Why don't you live down in Florida year round?
Well, I still have family and some business in Wisconsin. I love the seasons. Part of the reason we came down here was because a family member needed more help, and part of it, you know, that's what we do. We take care of people, you know, our family and our elders. So that's how we ended up here. But I still love Wisconsin. We're back there probably more than, you know, or I am more than half the year. But I did have a question real quick. Are you watching the big debate tonight between red and blue?
Yeah, I am, man. I am. And the reason that I am is because clearly this is a prelude to 2028. And so I want to see Gavin Newsom, and I want to see what's the other guy's name?
Ron DeSantis.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it, man. And so we'll talk about it tomorrow, CJ. Thank you very much. We got to run. Thank everybody who made the show go. Could not do it without you. Enjoy the rest of the day. Sandy Williams and I will be back on tomorrow. Thank you, Calvin. See you later.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Hey, it's Amanda, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is that they're so easy for the holidays. They're warm and flavorful. It's always a crowd pleaser. When I put down a nugget tray, everyone is happy.
Hey, this is Brian, and the little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A nugget trays is the joy that it brings to me and everybody around me during the holidays. They're warm, juicy, and delicious.
Cater the holidays with Chick-fil-A today. Available on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonials.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Now that fighting has resumed between Israel and Hamas, Palestinian civilians find themselves caught in the middle. CBS's Chris Livesay reports from Tel Aviv.
Heeding calls from Israel to evacuate, Palestinians flee Khan Yunis in the south. Others clamor and sift through the rubble. The entire building collapsed, says Abdul Karim Hamdan. Here we have paralyzed women and frightened infants. Are they the target for Israel?
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.